Hi, friends. God bless you today. Welcome to the month of June. It's going to be a great month in Jesus' name. I want to share something the Holy Spirit put in my heart for you this morning called Seeing in the Dark. I shared this with our Bible school students, and I want to share it with the whole church because I believe it's really appropriate for where we are right now in history and where we are in this moment in America. Seeing in the Dark, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, one of the greatest chapters in the book of Isaiah, there is such a beautiful messianic and New Testament relatable promise given to Israel. And I want to step into the revelation of that promise for this moment. Isaiah said this, "Arise and shine, for your light is come." Now we know Christ himself adopted the name of the light. He said, "I am the light of the world." And then he turned it back to us and said, "You are the light of the world." So the light of the world is Jesus, and everyone who carries Jesus carries his light. Arise and shine, our light, Jesus, has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen, like the sun rising, is risen upon you, getting brighter, getting stronger, more illumination. And then it says this in verse 2, "Behold, darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." But the dichotomy is, "But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you." So in the midst of darkness, a light will shine. We are called to be lights in darkness. We are called to see in the dark. That's my message today, seeing in the dark. Gentiles shall come to your light. People that don't know the covenant God of Israel, don't know the Messiah, don't know our Jesus, will come to the brightness and the glory radiating from the light that's shining from your life. And kings, those in leadership roles, will be drawn to the brightness of your rising. Verse 4 says, "Lift up your eyes all around and see. They gather together to come to you. Your sons will come from afar, your daughters to be nursed by your side." And so it goes from kind of a general promise to arise and shine. And then the promise is this: I'm going to shine the light of revelation into the dark regions of the world where your children have been kidnapped and stolen and deceived and destroyed. And they're going to come back home. I'm going to give them a guiding light home. And I want to give you insight into the restoration of your children's lives, of your family's life. It's so important because if you can see it, God can do it. In this great promise, God says, "I'm going to make my people heavenly flashlights, heavenly torches, heavenly flames of glory. And they're going to shine in the midst of a dark world so they can see in the dark." God's anointed you to have that insight, that discerning capacity through his Holy Spirit. The Amplified Bible says this: "Arise from the spiritual depression into a new life." So we change internally from living in darkness. Now, this is an important point. In scriptures, darkness are often an allegory, an image, and a metaphor for a bunch of things: for deception, for ignorance, and for oppression, for sinfulness. So anything that's bad, controlling, deceiving, and really not from God is under the influence of darkness. The Bible calls Satan's reign darkness, that we've been transferred, we've been translated, we've been changed and brought out of the kingdom of darkness, that's Satan's domain, into the kingdom of light. That's Christ's domain. And so darkness is this metaphor, and so we have authority to take darkness out of you. Now, as a believer, people say, "Well, Pastor, you know, can a Christian be demon-possessed?" The question is not whether a Christian can have a demon. The question is, can a demon have a Christian? Yes. So Christians can have a lot of oppression going on in our souls. Satan only has authority where he finds darkness. So when there's darkness in us, whether it's unrepented sin, destructive habits, unhealed traumas, all of those things kind of open the door to demonic activity. But in Christ, we have authority to open every window, open every door, and let the sunlight, the radiance of heaven shine into our world. Shine, be radiant with the glory and brilliance of the Lord, for your light has come. That's our Jesus. Amen. In fact, verse 2 says, the Amplified Bible, Isaiah 60, "Darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness will cover the people. but the Lord will arise upon you. I like the Message Bible of that verse too. And it says this: get out of bed, Jerusalem. Wake up, put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen for you. The whole earth is wrapped in darkness. What a beautiful picture of the deceiving nature of the enemy. Satan wraps people up in grave clothes of darkness, and God liberates us and frees us. All people sunk in deep darkness, but God rises on you. His glory shines, his glory breaks over you. Nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. Look around. Watch as they gather. Watch as they approach you. Your sons are coming from a great distance. Your daughters carried by their nannies. So it's just a beautiful picture of restoration. So God wants his people. So in the world today, we've had a really chaotic and hurtful weekend, a couple of weeks here in America. And God wants the church to have an insight that is deeper than natural, that is deeper than intellectual or educational or experiential. God wants us to have spiritual mindedness and spiritual guidance. And that insight allows us to see what other people are missing, to see and be led by the Holy Spirit. So God's anointed you, my friend, no matter how dark things look in the business community or in our culture or in any kind of situation in your family, God wants you to have insight like the night goggles that you can buy and that our military use that allow you to see in the dark. God says, I'm going to give you insight, Holy Ghost insight, discerning and capacity to interpret things, to see and discern things appropriately and with a godly kingdom mindset. The Lord's anointed all of us for that. Romans 8 says this about seeing in the dark. For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. So the evidence that I'm a child of God is the Holy Spirit's now leading and guiding and is the main factor in the decision making and the path taking decisions that I make in life. So the Holy Spirit's leading me. That's a sign that I'm behaving under my true identity as a son of God, a child of God, and I'm acting maturely. So for the Bible says God did not give us a spirit of bondage or slavery, again, to fear. So I've been liberated from what I was born into in Adam, what I was born into in my own family's heritage, the limitations, the constructs, the oppressions of those environments. I've been set free in Jesus. Hallelujah, okay? So because of that, I've received the Spirit of Adoption, a great title of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Adoption by whom we cry out, Abba or Daddy Father, Daddy God. So the Holy Spirit inside of me, first of all, he has given me the insight that I can see past the darkness of a wrong self-image. And so there's so many bad consequences of people seeing themselves wrong. And so it's so important that we allow the Holy Spirit to tell us, you're a child of God. You're a son, you're a daughter of God. Everything else ebbs from that, flows from that, comes out of the fountain of your identity in Christ. That's who God's made you to be, is his child, okay? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're his children, the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So the Holy Spirit not only bears witness and assures me, gives me confident boldness that I'm a child of God once I receive Christ through repentance. I am born again. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, you're a child of God. And then the Holy Spirit says, you have an inheritance in Christ. So when I read the Bible, I read it as if I can have it, not just so I can know it. I'm supposed to experience the kingdom of God, the realities of God's promises in his word. The Passion Translation of this verse is so awesome. It gives us insight into the depth of God's care and love for us. And that the Holy Spirit himself is our paraclete, our helper. And that there's never a moment in your world that he doesn't have insight or a wisdom or a strategic planned for you to function in. So when everyone else is kind of blinded by the darkness of a moment in time or of the oppression of this moment in history, kingdom people say, you know what? God's got a plan. The Holy Spirit's leading and guiding. And we should be those that help orchestrate that kind of outcome because God will help it. Psalm 18 says, "For you, Lord, will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Psalm 112 says, "Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness." The upright, so God says there's never going to be a season that you've entered into in any realm of your life that is so dark that I'm not going to show up and shine a light. And when God shines a light on you, he awakens a light in you, and you become a light yourself. You become a demonstration of that grace. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "The word, your word, God, the Bible, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So a lot of Christians, it's really important that your primary resource for knowing God's will is his word. So God's word is the revelation of God's will. Yes, we believe in prophecy and visions and dreams and all of the gifts of the Spirit, but we believe the most important way that God reveals his will to us is by his word. And when I put God's word into me, it helps me find the right path. So most decisions that I make because of my belief system, the word of God illuminating an understanding of what I should or shouldn't do, of where I should or should not go. So my beliefs dictate my decisions. And when the word of God is the dominant feature in my beliefs, I'm going to make godly, righteous, God-honoring decisions. That's how we get to that place in life. The entrance of your word, that same chapter, Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of your word gives light." So when God's word comes, it illuminates the dark places, the ignorant places, places I don't know. It illuminates the places that I'm bound by a sinful belief or habit, that anything inside of me that's under the oppression of darkness, when the word of God comes in, it turns the light switch on and says, things are going to change. Revelation has come, truth has come, and the truth is going to make me free, make us free. It gives understanding to the simple. That's God's promise to us. Psalm in Proverbs 16, verse 3, one translation says this, "Roll your works upon the Lord." So that's what we do in prayer. "Commit and trust them wholly to God." So we give our issues to God. When I pray about it, I invite God to act in it. I invite God to participate in it. "Roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them completely to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will." See, wisdom begins to pour. I pray about my problems. He starts giving me wisdom. "He will cause your thought to become agreeable to his will. So shall your plans be established and succeed." One of the ways God answers our prayers is to give us wisdom on what to do next. Or he gives us the capacity to see in the dark. What I couldn't see before a prayer, I can see after prayer. What I couldn't see before I opened my Bible, I can see after I opened my Bible. What I couldn't see before I spent time with God, I can see now because his word, his presence illuminates the path of wisdom for my life. There's a great verse I want to draw your attention to in the book of Daniel. So Daniel is a Hebrew, awesome young Hebrew man. And he and three of his friends, there's four of them in total, they are kidnapped, they're conquered by Babylon. So they're under oppression. So they're under a just horrible, you know, no rights, they're slaves. They have all of the, you know, the oppressive realities that slavery has brought throughout civilization. And yet they did something. In the midst of their oppression, they shined their lights. And what happened was Nebuchadnezzar was testing, examining, and comparing the three Hebrew children, Daniel, so all four of them, with his greatest scholars, his scientists, his astronomers, his astrologers, his sorcerers, his witches, everyone that was around him that had any kind of acumen, intelligence, and insight. And so he brought in these four young Jewish men into this midst, into this environment. And Daniel 1:19 says, "And the king interviewed them, And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served the king. And in all matters, listen to this sentence, in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, the king found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. So the king found these 4 Jewish men not twice as good, not thrice as good, not 10 times better. Whew. So they had the X factor. They had a Holy Ghost advantage. They had a divine privilege. They had the capacity to see into the dark and to perceive God's will. Because they were men of God, worshiped God, knew God, and walked with God, they had insight that others could not have. And so as the kings interviewed them, he's overwhelmed with their answers, their solutions, their problem-solving insight, because they are seeing in the dark. And God wants us as believers, imagine in your life, if you believed you had the X factor, the 10 times factor, and that you could see into the dark of every kind of economic uncertainty, of racial tensions, of religious deceptions, of family traumas, that you could see into the dark and that you could prescribe the will of God, the wisdom of God, and the kingdom of God in such an attractive way that people would see Christ in it and they would experience the answers that come from God's kingdom. God's kingdom is the best way of living life. So when we're kingdom-minded, we have the highest mindset. And everything else beneath it, all the other categories of our life diminish, not that they're unimportant, but they are submitted to the primary governance of the kingdom of God, the thought process of kingdom thinking. And in all matters, 10 times, Holy Ghost 10 times, 10 times, 10 times. So the Holy Spirit invites you and I to enter into his relationship, enter into his presence, enter into his domain, and obtain a wisdom, a capacity, an insight, a knowledge, a problem-solving acumen that's 10 times better than anyone else can have. And so we this is so important because that scripture is almost skipped over because people say, well, you know, the king was ruling the known world. And so the people around him were consequential. And they had, and they claimed by their spiritual activities, they were magicians and sorcerers, and so they were also people of kind of science. So they mixed spirituality and natural education together, and they claimed their spirituality, their worship of other gods, their astrology or their witchcraft gave them insight superior to other people. And then here comes God's guys. And they also are spiritual. But they're not astrologers. They're not engaged in witchcraft. They're not engaged in some other deceptive spiritual occultic beliefs. They're God's guys. And their insight is 10 levels higher, is 10 times more, 10 times better than the best that Babylon could produce. So Nebuchadnezzar is governing the whole world. He has around him the best that his culture could give him until another culture came. And it was the kingdom culture. It was the Jesus culture. It was the Holy Ghost culture. It was the culture that you and I belong to, the kingdom of God. And when they came into that moment, man, the world is feasting on knowledge and starving for wisdom in this moment in history. And God's ready to raise up his sons and daughters that we can shine as Isaiah prophesied, that we can radiate with God's love, radiate with God's glory, and radiate with God's problem-solving, discerning wisdom to help people know what they should do. Everyone's offering solutions, and they're coming from whatever belief system they have. Those solutions come from their spiritual life and their internal life and their own philosophical life or political life or social beliefs. But when kingdom people come, there's a different realm of insight that comes out of us because the Holy Spirit gives us a greater capacity than our own minds, our own education, our own experience can give us. 10 times better. I declare in Christ's name that you are 10 times better. That God's given you a wisdom 10 times superior to any kind of natural, any kind of fleshly or human attainment. In John 16, verse 13, Christ was talking about the Holy Spirit, and he said this, "However, when the Spirit of Truth," another great, beautiful title of the Holy Spirit, "has come, he will guide you into all truth." So truth is what? The illuminated wisdom of God. It's the truth. It's the eternal truth of God, the light of God. So I come out of the darkness of deception or untrue things into the truth. Holy Spirit guides me in the truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And I love this next sentence. This sentence changed my life 40-some years ago. "And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, he will show you things to come." He will give you the authority to see into the dark. People ask me a lot, or frequently, they'll say, "Well, what's the difference between, you know, a prophetic person and a fortune teller?" Well, people that have psychic powers, and they can be real, because familiar spirits are true spiritual entities. So a psychic or a person that flows in those kind of occultic realms often can see with some accuracy into your past. So familiar spirits can give their input about things that happen in your family, your life, whatever. But the thing they can't see is into the future. Why? Because God holds a sacred covenant that only he and his people have insight into the future. And so Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, he's going to open the veil and give you permission to see into the dark, the uncertainty of the future. And sometimes I hear people, "Well, you know, the future belongs to God." Yeah, and to his kids. What do you think prophecy is? Prophecy is not just God showing you the future, it's God changing your future. And so God gives us these spiritual gifts, this insight, these windows of insight and revelation, this capacity to see into the dark so that we could live lives that exemplify Christ, that we could solve people's problems, we could bring God's kingdom, that we could overcome the weapons and works of the enemy. And that's kind of a big thing, that God's anointed us with an arsenal of equipment, with a weaponry, a spiritual weaponry that overcomes the enemy, including discerning of spirits, that we have a gift of prophecy, diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, that God, the Holy Spirit says, "I'm going to help you see in the dark. I'm going to show you how to get there." I've witnessed the people before that were, you know, uninterested in faith or Christ or Christianity, for whatever reason, you know, indifferent or rebellious or, personally antagonistic or even combative. I never argue with those people. I just ask the Lord, "Lord, do you have something to say to them?" And often God will show me something hidden away in a dark chamber of their past, a trauma that caused so many negative things, including bad beliefs, to erupt out of it. And man, their resistance just melts away. It's amazing what one word from God can do. One flashlight of prophetic insight can deliver someone from a lifetime of oppressive darkness. And so the Holy Spirit's going to show us things to come. I claim that as a young man, that verse, and the Holy Spirit did. There's a beautiful kind of poetic expression of hearing God's voice and being led by his Spirit in Isaiah 30, verse 21. "You shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it." You'll hear a word by. People ask me, what it's like to hear God's voice? I say it's just this quiet, beautiful, soft voice. And he's not shouting, he's not screaming. The devil screams, the Holy Spirit whispers. And he will say, "This is the way, walk in it." And for every believer, we have that capacity inside of our hearts, because when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit moved in. And he brought with him the capacity to guide you into all truth, to show you things to come, to let you see in the dark, and to give you insight into this moment in history. The last scripture I want to read today and talk about is in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's a great story. And Elijah was seeing into the dark, and he was protecting the army of Israel from being ambushed from the Assyrian army. So he would send a note to the king. He would have a word of knowledge or prophetic discerning. Don't go down that road. They're waiting for you. Take this road. And so he kept helping Israel overcome the attacks of the enemy man. It's called preventive medicine, folks. The Holy Spirit will keep you out of trouble. He will show you what not to do because he's protecting you. But anyways, the Syrian king gets mad, and so he sends a whole battalion of chariot-riding soldiers into Elijah's little city. And when Elijah's servant got up to go get water for that day's duties, he looked up and saw the Syrian chariots had literally surrounded their village. And he dropped his water, he ran inside, and he said, "Alas, master, what are we going to do? The Syrian army is here, and they're here for you." And Elijah almost chuckled. And he said, "Son, there are more with us than with them, than against us. There are more." Did you know that's true even when you can't see it? But when you can see it, it helps you really believe it. Here's what he said. He said, "Lord, please open the eyes of my servant so he could see what I see and he could see how things really are." And the Bible says, "The Lord opened the eyes of the servant of the man of God, and he saw, behold, the mountains was full of the horse and chariots of fire all around Elijah." So he saw two worlds. He saw the natural world. See, we can't change culture by living under the authority and living under the restricted sight of the culture. We change culture by seeing a higher culture, by seeing God's way, God's kingdom, God's laws, God's love, God's will. Whew. And so he saw both worlds. He still saw the Syrian army, but then he saw hovering above them the chariots of God, angelic warriors. And when he saw how things really were, what, his fear left and peace came. So fear is always the product of listening or looking at the wrong thing, believing the wrong thing. And so we want to believe God's promises that we're surrounded. And so I pray this same prayer for you that Elijah prayed for his servant. Father, I praise you to open the eyes of your precious people that they might see in the midst of maybe family turmoil, economic uncertainty, cultural unrest, worldwide pandemic, that they might see the radiant truth of heaven, that they might see, God, there's more for them than against them. That they might see, God, that you're fighting for them, as the Bible says, that we know this. God is for you, not against you. God is on your side, not opposing you. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Father, I pray for the illuminating discerning of the Holy Spirit. I pray for those that are trying to make important decisions, God, that really will affect these next months or years of their life or family or business or ministry. Let a discerning, revelatory insight, let them see in the dark your will. Let them see, God, your purpose. Let them see your plan. Let them see the next steps to take, the next place to go, the next actions to take. Let them see, God, clearly, I pray in Christ's name. I take authority over the devil's lies, over every phobia and fear, deception. I command suicidal thoughts to leave you. I command depression to leave you in Christ's name. And I declare the light of God's love, the light of his peace and joy are flooding your heart now. So God, I thank you, Lord, that you're helping all of us see what we've been missing and that we can see, God, it doesn't matter how harsh, how hard, or how dark things get. We are called to walk in the midst of it and see in the dark and see your will. I pray that 10-time anointing of Daniel and his three friends comes on all of us, and that we have a superior wisdom because we have a superior God. I thank you, God. It's not because we're smarter, it's because you're smarter. It's not because we're better, it's because you're better. It's not because we're more educated, it's because all knowledge belongs to you. Thank you, God, for that depth and quality of wisdom. As Christ said, irrefutable wisdom given to us by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as you gave me when I sought you as a teenager, when I read that verse that said, you will show me things to come, and you started showing me things to come prophetically. I thank you that you're showing your people, that everyone in the sound of my voice and watching and listening to this can hear your voice, be led by your Spirit, by led by you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for guiding us, helping us. Thank you for directing our paths. Thank you for illuminating our darkness. Thank you for showing us things to come. Thank you for 10 times greater wisdom. Thank you, God, for insight that we're going to arise and shine. And no matter what the devil is doing, we're going to radiate with God's light, God's love, God's truth, God's grace. And we're going to be flashlights. We're going to be great lights in this dark world because of your light shining in us and for us. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Love you much. Thank you for listening to me. God bless you.